Hi! Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today. Hey, everybody. It's We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. For a second session, we have Nancy Lindgren in the studio. As you remember from last week, Nancy works with you to address the physical, mental, emotional, energetic, and spiritual aspects of your healing. So in each session, Nancy combines complementary healing arts techniques that she's learned from decades of study. These techniques include various forms of energy healing, emotional freedom techniques, which is also referred to as
energy psychology.
Energy psychology.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we talked a little bit of that before. Tell us a little bit about how forgiveness fits in with all of this. All the work that you do.
I learned from a lovely woman in town here, Mary Hayes Greco.
She's been on our show.
She has.
We're gonna include her episodes in the show notes.
Oh my gosh. Well, I was in her first workshop way back when.
Oh,
and I learned
her first workshop.
I learned her 13-step technique, and I take my clients through that.
Okay.
So it's really important to forgive so that, you know, they say, not forgiving somebody is like eating poison and wishing it would hurt the other person. You know what I mean?
Right.
I guess is
yeah. Some, that's a right.
But you know, it helps you feel
true
more
statement.
Clear and clean inside to let some of that go through forgiving.
Yeah. In preparing for our conversation, I went back to Marianne Williamson, A Return to Love.
Oh yeah.
And I just kind of opened the book. And just started kind of reading it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I think this fits with our conversation. So Marianne Williamson is known around the world as teaching A Course in Miracles. It's a self-study program of spiritual psychotherapy. And she kind of she wrote the curriculum and taught groups all over the world. And so she's written a number of books. The first book I read of hers was A Woman's Worth.
Mm-hmm.
And in the discussions that are going on with the Me Too movement and Time's Up, the question about a woman's worth, a woman's worth, is kind of in the forefront of how many people need to come together to speak out about these sexual abuses before they're actually heard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it turns out we need hundreds of people speaking up to get somebody into jail or off the streets from their predatory acts.
Right.
Anyways, I was thinking about this in terms of how can we learn from all these experiences? So all of what we're experiencing, I'm just thinking I'd like to bring in more conversations about love and healing and the work that you're doing with the complementary healing arts, I think is something we need in our time, and we need lots of different types of techniques. And in Marianne Williamson's book, A Return to Love, she said, although we may not realize it, most of us are violent people, not necessarily physically, but emotionally. We have been brought up in a world that does not put love first, and where love is absent, fear sets in. Fear is to love as darkness is to light. It's a terrible absence of what we need in order to survive. It's a place we go where all hell breaks loose. When infants aren't held, they can become autistic or even die. It's universally accepted that children need love, but at what age are people supposed to stop needing it? We never do. We need love in order to live happily as much as we need oxygen in order to live at all.
That's right.
And I was just kind of surprised that, like, I just opened up to that page.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And I thought it was so applicable to the times that we're living in.
Yeah, definitely.
And how far we've gotten away from love.
Mm-hmm.
At the base of everything that we need to be doing and living.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Love is always the answer.
So that ties in with forgiveness. And in our last session, you had talked about flower essences. And I hadn't heard about flower essences before used as healing. Mm-hmm. In that way of cutting off flower tops, and then you put them in a jar with water.
Mm-hmm. That's how they're made, yeah.
Yeah, that's how they're made. And then after a couple of hours, you take that out and strain them and put in some other preservatives. It's yes. Is that what it is?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that you can preserve the potency of the flower.
Right, so yeah. It doesn't spoil.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And so in our second session, I love the way kind of your life has unfolded. And I've never heard anyone describe a big wound of losing your father at age 5 as a sacred wound. And I just think that that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I learned it from a teacher many, many years ago. And it's recently just surfaced for me again about talking about it this way. And I believe our sacred wounds are something that we learn a lot from, and it becomes our wisdom. And it may never go away all the way. You know, we may always have a little pain around that sacred wound, but it doesn't consume us anymore, mm-hmm. you know, because we've done all the work with it.
Yeah.
And we've all had some sort of trauma, some a lot more than others.
Yeah.
And some of those, you know, if we choose to do the deeper work around them and to do our deeper healing,
yeah.
we can be, you know, I like to say I've walked through the fires, you know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of us have.
Yeah.
And we can hold a space then for others to do that work.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and a safe space for them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can do that work and release what has been so hard for them
yeah.
out of their system.
Yeah.
And find that freedom and that inner peace and learn from it too. Mm-hmm. And have it be a piece of their wisdom then.
Yeah. And that's how we share our experience mentoring others.
Right. Absolutely.
And passing on these long traditional things that we've learned of healing practices.
Right.
Yeah. So I look at your life work as you seem to like keep growing as a person, and so you keep training and mm-hmm. expanding, so you keep having more and more offerings for people to help them heal.
Yes.
And you've always been a person too who's been very gracious and blessing and like a minister. And since I've met you, you've become a minister.
I have, yeah. I was ordained back in 96.
And so you do weddings, funerals, and memorials,
mm-hmm.
baptisms, and baby blessings.
I do, yeah.
And I would like to talk a little bit about, someone once told me, God is not small-minded, people are.
That's right.
It's still very challenging for a woman to be a minister. How have you overcome some of the biases or...
You know, when I'm doing a fairly traditional wedding for a couple,
mm-hmm.
I can tell that we've got some people, you know, as their guests, their family members or whatever, that are like, all right, well, who's this, you know? But, yeah. you know, creating sacred space and doing a wedding and celebrating their love,
yeah,
it can be so special. And usually by the end of the ceremony, it's like they're smiling, you know, and they're coming up. And I have had some people go, well, where were you ordained? You know, I mean, like
mm-hmm.
they don't trust me or whatever, but that's very few and far between.
Yeah. Where did you get your training?
I went through a 2-year program called the Center for Wholeness here in Minneapolis.
Oh.
And as a part of my healing journey, and all of the things I learned in the energy healing school there, he offered classes in becoming a minister as well. And I signed up for it. I just like woke up one day and went, yep, I'm going to go do that too. And then when I look back, I remembered because somebody had asked me one time, how did you know to do this, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember being a little girl, Catholic church, singing the Mass in Latin, seeing the priest come down the aisle with the incense and the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, man, I want to do that someday.
Yeah.
I want to be that spiritual teacher, leader, whatever.
Yes.
You know, I want to have ceremonies. I want to create that. Mm-hmm. So I am. You know, I figured out there was no room for that, of course, you know, for women to do that kind of thing in that religion.
There still isn't.
Right. But, yeah. You know, I found my way. And
yes.
I love creating custom ceremonies for people.
Yeah.
You know?
Gives you so much freedom.
It's a reflection of their values. They get to choose what they want. We create it together.
Oh, nice.
If they want something really traditional, we do that. If they want something more contemporary, we do that. You know, I have a lot of people come to me saying, well, I grew up Catholic, she grew up Lutheran, but neither of us go to church anymore, but we still want a nice blessing for our marriage. And,
yeah,
you know.
So where do you do these ceremonies?
I'm traipsing all over the place, hotels and beautiful, you know, parks and different wedding venues throughout the Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
Okay.
And beautiful, you know, Sunken Garden at Como or the Japanese Garden out in Normandale or Como or,
yeah,
you know, they're so beautiful.
Yeah.
To be there and mm-hmm. be a part of that.
Very good. Yeah. And really needed.
Very much. It really creates a lot of more intimacy. You know, I think when you can create a ceremony for people that's a reflection of their values and mm-hmm. have it be meaningful and heartfelt.
Yeah. A
little bit of joy and fun.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And you also have expanded into another area.
Well, I created this. It's called a moonlight pillow. When my dear friend, my best friend, got breast cancer 14 years ago, and she was going through breast cancer, and, you know, best friends talk on the phone every day, or, you know, I went to chemo with her, I did, you know, went to surgery, all the stuff that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to find out firsthand what women actually go through when they have surgery.
Yeah.
And I had no idea how painful or whatever. And so I created this pillow for her comfort. And she said to me, Nancy, you have to do this. You've got to do it. You've got to make more of these available. This was so comforting. I could finally sleep through the night. And that's the thing I hear about 100% of the time is I could finally sleep through the night after getting one of these pillows after
I'm
surgery.
Goosebumps. I mean,
are
that's
you?
So beautiful. Wow.
Yeah. And then they're soft. And I'm like, well, I don't sew that well. I'm not going to get into making hundreds of these or thousands. So I had to find manufacturing. And she was talking to her neighbor one day, and her neighbor worked out at the Shakopee Women's Correctional Facility. And she's like, I was just showing her this pillow. Do you know anybody that sews? And she's like, we have a sewing division. And so I got hooked up with the people out at Shakopee, and I went and I did a tour of the prison industry out there. And it was clean, and they were working hard, and it was all felt really good.
Yeah.
And I started with them, and I've been with them ever since. And the inmates do a really good job out there.
Yeah.
The women that work on my project are happy about what they're doing. They're proud of what they're doing.
Some of them have said, what about?
Oh my gosh. One woman said, you know, this is the most meaningful work I've ever done on the inside or the out. You know?
Yeah.
Well, another woman said, I wish I would have had one of these when I went through breast cancer. Mm. Another one said, you know, my sister went through breast cancer and I couldn't be there for her, but this gave me a way to be a part of the, just thinking about her while I'm making these pillows and thinking about her comfort. And they're all very eager when I go out there and I have meetings with them and stuff and showing them, you know, thanking them for their good work. And when it's just nice to work with them.
Yeah.
Because they're so, they're good at what they do and they love it. And it's, I had no idea the ripple effects, the positive ripple effects this pillow would have, you know, mm-hmm. from the people who receive them and receive the comfort,
yes,
to somebody who can give a gift that's nice and soft and pretty and you know, it's something they can actually use, to the women who make them, to, you know, like, it's just amazing to see how it's all gone out in the world and created this positive ripple effect,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I had, you know, when it first came up, I was saying to God one day, like, all right, how can I reach more than 4 or 5 people a day? I really want to kick it up here, you
yeah.
know? And I had just started with these pillows. And so this was my way to reach more than 4 or 5 people a day, because hundreds and thousands of these have gone out. So,
And where do you sell them? Are you selling them to hospitals?
Mainly online. And some of the hospitals in town do have them in their gift shops. And
which ones, so that people can?
Methodist Hospital, Park Nicollet System has them. And Fairview are the two. And then there's some out of town up in the northern parts of, and there's some scattered around the U.S. that order them.
Oh.
So that's been great.
Yeah, fantastic.
And then there's a charity at the Mayo Clinic that gives them to every woman that's had surgery at the Mayo. And they're called Join the Journey, and they're amazing. They have these volunteers that meet these women with, they've just been through surgery, and they give them a pillow and show them how to use it. And then they talk about their outreach. And so they're a really amazing group. So they're out there doing their work.
Yeah.
Riding comfort.
And you do something special with each pillow that goes out.
You know, I charge them up with healing energy when I'm packing them, you know. And sometimes I'll get an order and the person will call and say, I'm having my surgery on Tuesday, you know. And I ask, you know, what are you going to have? Lumpectomy, mastectomy, whatever. And we get acquainted. And so I'm packing the pillow knowing this is it going out to her. She's having her surgery on Tuesday, or just the orders that come in and all the little thing, you know, little notes they can enclose and what they say and all of that. It's like, I, whether I know the person or know of them or not, I know these pillows are going to go out and do something, provide comfort. And I just add a little extra.
Yeah.
Charge them up with a little love and healing.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So where do you think you're going to go from here?
Oh, my. I'd like to grow this company bigger, Moonlight
okay.
Pillows.
Mm-hmm.
I'd actually like to sell it at some point.
Okay. So how big do you want to get it before you sell it?
That's a really good question, Nancy.
We want to put some energy around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And get precise.
I'm not sure how big.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'd like
Is
to expand
Is there an image
more.
That's coming? If we focused a minute?
Huh.
I know, nothing like putting you on the spot. well, you'll put some energy into it from here.
I
mean,
will.
This is hard to, you can't just charge this up right now.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But good. I know that you will.
Well, just like all the other stuff, you make it up as you go along. And if you
yeah.
don't know the answer, you find out.
Right.
You know,
you figure
so
it out.
How do you sell a company? That's the next thing.
Yeah.
I gotta find out.
Yeah,
you know?
You'll do that.
What do I need to have in place? You know,
mm-hmm.
all of those things. So that's what I'll be working on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
maybe
good.
Even one of my kids will take it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe my daughter will take it for
you've
me.
You've got some entrepreneurial spirit there in your family. Is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners that might be helpful for them in their journey with their businesses?
Wow. If you need help, ask.
Yeah.
Find people. And don't be afraid to put yourself out there. That's been a real stumbling block for me.
Mm.
And the more I do, the better it gets. So.
And are you taking bigger risks to put yourself out there more?
I am.
More?
Yep, I
yeah,
am.
Like with the ministry, I imagine that took a lot of energy to kind of put yourself out there.
Right.
Knowing that not everybody's receptive.
Yep.
Yeah. And do you meet with some other women ministers?
You know, I work with a company called Minnesota Officiants, and there's about 15 of us. And it's a lead generating site for me to be a part of. So there's a whole group of us, and we get together and we talk about our weddings, our baby blessings, those who do funerals, that kind of thing, to kind of enhance the quality of our weddings. And
it's what is it called?
Minnesota League? Officiants.
Officiants. Yep. Okay.
And people call, we do hundreds of weddings a year. And so they contact Minnesota Officiants and they select their minister that way.
Okay. I'll put the link in the show notes.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. All right. Really nice advice for people.
Yeah. And keep yourself grounded, you know, really engage your senses. I think that's one of the best things, and check in with yourself. And, you know, you've got this self-awareness mentoring journal. Really check in. See, how are you feeling in this moment, you know, and just get yourself, if you're way ahead of yourself or way behind yourself, get yourself back in this moment. There's an awful lot of mindfulness training going on these days. I know you participate in that. And I just think it's really important to stay present.
Yeah.
So you can, I think we make our best decisions that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. This has been awesome.
Oh, great. All right. Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, photographer, videographer, brother from another mother. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Hope you got some enriching gems today. And we'll see you next week.